So the latest upgrade to the Mac operating system has screwed up with Audacity to the point where I now have to use two programs to edit this show.
Oh no.
Yeah, kind of sucks.
Wait, are we doing the show now?
That was the show. Yeah, that was the cold open.
Oh, well, welcome to the show, everybody!
That was really cold. Totally caught you off guard.
I thought you were just giving me some tech debrief.
No, I couldn't think of anything else to talk about, because it's slow in baseball and football's, kind of taken center stage a little bit. So, just a little jibber jabber.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about everything else. So,
baseball.
what's going on? What are
Okay.
you doing for the holidays, man?
Well, first, this is episode 89, which has no number to it, of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
Yeah, so no player ever to wear the number 89.
Have you given much thought, John, to what we're going to do
No,
when we
not at all.
zero out the odometer?
Once we go to the Aaron Judge episode, and then we're done.
I mean,
I was
it's
thinking
not a
maybe.
terrible idea.
No, I think maybe we'll just switch to a different sport.
Okay, that might be fun.
Until we get to the Wayne Gretzky episode, and then we'll move on to basketball.
Okay, I'm into that a little bit.
No,
Maybe we'll just do all sports.
Yeah.
What about movies?
Yeah, with the numbers in their titles. Gone in 60
You know
seconds.
what? Here's what we'll do. Movies, IMDb top-rated movies.
Okay, we can do
That's
that.
what we'll do.
We'll see what our
That
producers think about
will
that.
force us to do pop culture for
Yeah.
those pop culture enthusiasts that tune in.
And it'll give them a reason to listen to the beginning of the show. But there is a little bit of baseball. Or you were asking me about how are things going. Things are going very nicely. Today is our final day in Mérida, Mexico, and
Okay.
heading off to the mountains in much colder weather in San Miguel de Allende. And now it's like 80s here, and nighttime's in the 60s. We're going to be going to 60s during the day and 20s at night.
Are you guys going to go to Sayahuatanejo? Is
What
that how you
is
say
it?
it?
I don't know what that
Sayahuatanejo?
is. That a
Shawshank
place?
Redemption, man.
Oh, never saw that movie, believe it or not.
What?
Believe it or not, that's one of those movies where everybody's like, "Are you? Everybody's seen Shawshank." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I haven't."
Yeah. What? How? What?
And
Because.
here's another one that'll probably shock you. Rocky Horror. Never seen it in the theater
But no,
or
see,
on video.
I can understand not seeing that. Because you're supposed to see that in the theater, and
Right. And
watching it just like at home
I've
is interesting.
refused to do that.
But why
Honestly.
refuse?
I
Just to
just felt
leave
like,
the opportunity to see it in a theater open to you for the rest
yeah,
of your
for the rest
life?
of my
All
life, I
right,
think.
that's fair.
Maybe on my deathbed, I will say, please turn on Rocky Horror. I have to get this in before my final breath.
I mean, that would be an amazing addition to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, is someone being on their deathbed.
Yeah, that would be. How many times have you seen it?
Once in the theater, and then a couple times on TV.
And did you participate in
Oh
the.
God, no.
No?
No, I'm a boisterous sports participant
But you don't throw
in the
toast at the movie
fans and on the
screen?
field, but I'm not. I when I go to like when I went to The Room, I've seen The Room in the theaters like five times, and I just sit quietly and let everyone do their thing.
So people in the room do the same similar things. They
Oh yeah, no, that's the whole draw of seeing it in the theater, is that there's all kinds of shenanigans that go on in the audience,
No, I didn't know
and
that.
talking to the characters and interacting with the film. It's really quite an amazing, like, as bad as the film is, and it's worth seeing in how terrible it is, it becomes this elevated multi-dimensional experience when you see it in the theater. So
Interesting. And I'm sure it
yeah,
still plays in LA, Hollywood area quite a bit.
I mean, they do. I think they do midnight showings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I
So,
remember that was all the rage when I was in high school with the Rocky Horror. Every
yeah.
weekend it was at midnight in the theaters.
Yeah, I dated a girl that was in one of the casts for a bit. Anyway,
Okay. And she had to
things
go
didn't
every
work out.
weekend?
Yeah, she would go every weekend. Like,
And you're like, can we do something else this weekend?
all
She's like, no.
We
She
had
wanted to do the
different life
time warp.
goals. Exactly.
Okay,
let's take a step to the left.
Yeah. I do know some of the songs.
They're great songs, I'll be honest with you. And Tim Curry,
is
just
the best.
Magnificent in that
I love
film.
Him anyway.
As he is in a lot of films, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, he's great.
Underrated.
Yes. So let's talk some baseball, even though there's not a whole heck of a lot.
There's some good amount of baseball I dug up here, I think.
Yeah, you did, but it's all kind of like...
It's pretty lightweight.
It's lightweight stuff. But there's, you know, there's the rumors, the flying rumors. They're going to go on until Harper and Machado or Harchado signs.
I'll tell you right now, probably nothing more delicious than horchata.
I have to agree. I had never had it until I was down here. Love it.
Okay. Yeah.
Daily thing now.
It is so good. It's cinnamon and rice milk or something like that.
So
and
good.
It's unbelievably delicious.
Yeah. If made not from a powder, because apparently there are some restaurants that do it as a powder.
Ugh.
It's like, oh, that's no good. They're like, oh, it's pre-mixed. I'm like, no. Because we've asked sometimes to when we get drinks down here, no azúcar, because they put sugar in everything.
Right.
And they're like, oh, it's pre-mixed. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll have it anyway.
Yeah.
It's that good.
As you're having a beverage looking out over your fields of marijuana plants?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
All is well in the hood.
But no sugar.
No sugar. No azúcar.
It's an indulgent society. You know what I mean?
It is.
Like the Aztecs were. They're all in. You know,
learned,
they want the sugar.
Learned,
they want
I've
the heroin.
I've learned a
Have
lot.
You?
Yeah, I've learned a lot about the cultures. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll continue. Well, we've been in the Yucatan Peninsula for the entire time so far, so 5 months.
Okay.
And now we're moving into the central part of Mexico.
And at what point are you joining the caravan?
We're debating. You know, we're
joining the invasion.
Is that even still a thing? Didn't they?
I don't know. I think they let some of them in.
I think they did. I think some of them died, didn't they?
Well, that one poor girl, yeah,
that's
died
horrible.
Of dehydration. I mean, you know, you're out in the desert and you're not eating
For
and
days.
Drinking.
Yeah,
like. Anyway, I wish there was a better way. We don't have to get into this, but I just feel like there's a better way to handle it all, and I wish both sides would just stop with the blah, 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 and just work out a solution. But back to baseball. Speaking of solutions, hey, you know what? Let's dive right into this international thing since we're in it. Is the Cuba thing is actually, I have it last year on the list, but it's actually kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. It kind of even made like CNN and MSNBC and maybe Fox News. I don't know, but it was... on the main feed of these news outlets yesterday. It's a big deal.
Yeah, so MLB and the Players Association worked out an agreement with the Cuban Federation, Baseball Federation or whatever. They're going to be able to post players like the Japanese leagues do. And now it's the same thing with Japan. I think the Japanese have like a 8-year requirement in their leagues, but I think Cuba's going to have a 6-year. And then anyone who's over 25 is automatically available. And then you can post them. And then, but anyway, this is so that players don't have to like defect from Cuba.
Right.
And like, this is the smart move now that relations with Cuba have smoothed a little bit. Like, this is a great way for Cuba to be able to keep some of this money instead of like making these teams, these players defect.
Yeah.
They'll make money, but also they'll get like taxed. They'll be able to tax the player because they're of that nationality.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, I saw a great thing from like Yasiel Puig, who was smuggled out by drug dealers and, you know, there's that whole mess. And like, but to not have to go through that is life and death if you can't hear. What I'm saying, then it's very deaf. Life and death. It's a life and death thing.
Right. Yeah, so no more danger. No more peligroso.
Yeah.
Muy peligroso crossing the seas to get
it's,
to...
It's muy mal.
and muy difícil.
It's donde los pantalones.
En la casa. And that wraps up our Spanish 101 class.
With apologies to anyone that actually speaks Spanish. And anyone who doesn't, frankly, for having to endure that.
But it's going to change, I think. We're going to start hearing of players sooner, which is a good thing. That's a good thing.
I'm curious to see where these younger guys, you know, like the 20-year-old guy who's ready to go to the. I wonder what they're going to do with that. You know, that's something that I think the Cubans can post them early, but I think you still might see a couple of guys.
Yeah, swimming.
Jump ship. It's not like Japan. You know, like Japan, you jump in the ocean.
Right. It's a
long
haul.
You got a way to go.
Yeah, and only 90 miles as the crow flies.
Yes.
But we did have significant signing was Michael Brantley.
Michael Brantley, fairly significant.
Yeah.
What did he get? Like, it's a 2-year deal,
it was a
right?
2-year deal. Most
probably because of his injury history.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Most thought he was going to go 3, but yeah. You know, wanted to go to a winning team.
$17 million a year?
I think so. 34. But the the Astros just got a little bit better.
Yeah.
And they'll probably wind up platooning him and Reddick unless they flip Reddick, right?
Well, they can't. They're both lefties, so I don't think you.
They are.
I think they're looking at. I mean, I know that Reddick's sort of on the block,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's like no one's left field, one's right field.
Oh.
Reddick's a good fielder too.
Yeah, great fielder. Yeah, he's got a pretty significant highlight reel. I remember it was a one spring training in the same game he jumped over the wall and snagged 2 home runs. It's pretty impressive.
That reminds me of when Mookie Betts jumped up to snag a home run from Jose Altuve. Sorry, Astros fans.
That was the call that changed everything.
It may have.
It was a big.
It may not have.
Yeah, it was turned the tide a little.
I thought it was kind of a big deal.
Poco.
Yeah. 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 Muy mal. Okay, what
this
else was
the
there
Spanish
about that?
Episode.
Oh, here, yeah, exactly. So the other thing about Brantley was this is a the Indians were they were very close to offering him the qualifying offer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why it was smart of them not to, because he might have taken it. $17 million a year, that's a little bit less than the qualifying offer, but
right.
I don't know that he gets $17 million a year for 2 years. I don't know if he gets that if there's also a draft pick that the team loses. So maybe it's more like he's getting $15 million for 2 years.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that actually wound up working better for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, the Indians probably wish they had some compensation for him leaving. But you know what? Indians are going crazy. You see, they traded Yonder Alonso to the White Sox in the division. Of course, it doesn't matter in that division, all divisions.
They're like, we all have a few years to get better.
Yeah. They're still talking about trading Kluber.
Yeah.
That's still in the works.
I mean, why is there a deconstruction going on there right now?
Deconstruction? Like they have Bowers. They added Bowers. That's an improvement, I think.
Mm-hmm.
First base DH along with Carlos Santana. That's a little bit of a downgrade from Edwin Encarnacion, a little bit. But the Bowers thing is a boon,
a big plus,
right?
Yeah.
So they fixed their closer situation. They probably still need another reliever because they lost Miller and Allen. I don't think they're bringing back either of those guys because they'll just be out of their pay range, you know.
And who's their closer?
It's Brad Hand now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The trade last year.
Deadline trade last year. Smart trade by them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're down on Francisco Mejia, which some are, some aren't. Like Keith Law at ESPN is like, no, this guy's going to be, he's going to be able to stay at catcher, good enough catcher, you know, and just hit for days. And then the other people are like, he's probably going to wind up being a first base DH type and...
Yeah, unless they're like a franchise changing player, you can't. I mean, you can't sit there and unless they turn into a franchise player that no one saw coming, and you kind of get can you believe that they gave him up for a bag of balls?
Right, Jeff Bagwell Larry Anderson or whatever.
Yeah, things like that.
What a perfect name for a pitcher to be traded for a Hall of Famer, Larry Anderson,
Mr. Ambiguous. Yeah, no. I just think that sometimes we focus a little bit too much on the micro when it comes to stuff like that because you just never know.
Yeah.
Even in fantasy baseball, fantasy anything teaches that if you have a legacy league or deep league where you have a farm system. It just, it teaches you that you just never know. Someone's supposed to be an ace and they wind up never being an ace. Someone's supposed to hit, they get to the AAA level and they stop hitting. You know, just never know. But then there are other bona fide stars.
Yeah, I mean, there's the guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and and Tatis. Though Tatis, just 2 years ago, was traded away for nothing.
Right.
So, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I think, from the get-go, has been like, oh, wow, this guy's going to be a superstar.
Right.
So,
right.
Both the children of former major leaguers.
Yeah. Hall of Fame, or one of them.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis. I'll never forget the game where he hit two grand slams in one inning.
What?
Against the Dodgers. Yeah. What? Two grand slams in one inning.
That's got to be a record.
Yes.
Never also, beaten, maybe tied, but never beaten.
Here's the thing. How do you even, as a manager, let that happen? That's, the Dodgers went through some crappy managers, man.
Was it Tracy at that time? No, that was probably further back.
I don't know who that was. Maybe Tracy. Maybe it was Russell. Wasn't Russell managing for a little
bit? He did for a little bit, yeah.
I don't know. It was not good.
Gosh, that's going back.
Traumatizing to watch that.
Yeah.
Because it's like Fernando Tatis. What? Who?
Yeah.
Two grand slams, one inning.
That's pretty amazing. So a little bit, another signing. Let's see, there was a handful. Yeah, there was a handful. Wilson Ramos signing with the Mets. Solves
the deal that we suggested.
You did, yeah. You were all over that. You were like, they shouldn't even trade assets.
Why trade away an asset to get Real Muto when Wilson Ramos is on the free agent market? It's going to cost you about the same money and no prospects.
Right.
Ridiculous.
So they're good signing. They're locked, and they're, you know, as Brady Van Donegan Wagner, whatever his last name is, thinks they're the best team in the NL East now. Team to beat.
I mean, he suggested that they could be the favorites, and if you look at it, if you look at the projections, they are right there with the Braves and the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'm not 100% on board with him on that, but...
But he did say the day that he was announced that they were going to be competitive.
Yeah, so all that Thor stuff, the Thor trade stuff, was just hogwash then.
Right.
Yeah. Unless I did hear a very compelling argument for if you just traded him away and signed Dallas Keuchel, you'd lose basically a win per year, maybe a win and a half, but then you would get back a truckload for Thor.
Right, that would have been smart.
And then you would have a truckload, then you're minus one win, and you try to make up that win somewhere else. Maybe you sign A.J. Pollock. And you know what? Why don't you just sign all the free agents?
Right.
I'm getting a little carried away over here.
But Pollock's,
it's because I live in New York. Normally I wouldn't care in the world, but I live in New York, so I'm following the Mets a bit more. And, of course, I love Conforto so much. The guy hits the ball so hard. I love guys that hit balls hard. What can I say?
With their bats.
Yes.
Let's see what else we had. Another Matt Harvey. Somebody was willing to throw money at Matt Harvey.
Yeah. The Angels.
So, yeah.
Home of the injured pitcher was like, you know who we really need on this team? Yeah, Matt Harvey.
Yeah, a project, a reclamation project. Although he did pitch kind of good in the second half of the season.
He was solid. He was solid. I mean, he's still fallen so far from where he was. But.
Yeah. You know, it's tough for somebody like that who was measured as one of the best in the game for a very short period of time to, you know, now over a 4 ERA. But I guess his walks per nine are low. His strikeouts are climbing back up again. So, you know, that's, I guess, a positive sign.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, honestly, you know, to get away from the Mets was helpful for him because the defense there's not, you know what? It's not bueno.
No bueno. And the media there was all over him. There's nothing he could have done to get the media off his back because he was cocky and, you know, he'd rather party than. You know, he was a little bit of a prima donna, I would say.
Yeah. Well, now he's going to be able to party at Disneyland
all
night long.
And all the Anaheim hotspots.
In Anaheim, that means until 10 o'clock. He's going to shut down these clubs at around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
So what is there any new news with the Machado and Harper tours?
So Machado met with the Yankees, and then he's going to the Whites to meet with Chicago White Sox, and then he's going to the Phillies. Not necessarily in that order, but he's going to – the Yankees were first. I still think he winds up with the Phillies. I think he's a perfect fit there, and I think they're going to spend stupid money. I think you're going to see that $35 million a year contract.
And their owner said that would even, think it was, he was quoted as saying, we're willing to spend stupid money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay.
I mean, yeah, it's Philadelphia, so it's very easy to believe that. They were like, Ryan Howard, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right. We'll throw money at him. We're going to go Chris Davis crazy.
They're going to sign Machado and then immediately give him an extension.
It'll have him blocked up for 17 years. But I was hearing some buzz this week about Harper saying he really wants to play for the Dodgers, or at least someone in his camp was that would be a great matchup, and he's not going to make as much money if he goes there, but...
Yeah, they're thinking maybe the Dodgers are somewhat averse to the bigger contracts, strangely enough. Maybe it's just because they've been spending so much money paying those off from their past.
Right.
But they have been interested in... The rumor is they're interested in a shorter-term, higher average annual value contract with Harper. So let him sign him for 5 years for closer to 40, you know, 35 to 40. Give him an opt-out after three. Let him go back to free agency in 3 years. Da, 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 da. So kind of everyone wins in the scenario. Because really, the size of the contract is important, but the average annual value is the real... That's brass ring, as they say, for Boris and company.
And, you know, when you're making, you know, chump change like $30-35 million a year, you always want to get a 10-year $35 million versus a 5-year $35 million. Because, you know, you need that extra $175 million, you know, because you spend it. If you have it, you spend it.
Yeah. Hey, man, I know.
When did you sign to
balancing my checkbook? And you know, what do I do with this other $178 million? Doesn't matter. I already spent it.
Right. Done. Need a 5-year extension to keep up with my habits. Yeah, they're crying all the way to the bank. But, you know, I think the bigger, you know, when you think about it from the agent's point of view, the agents get a pretty big chunk of change. So they're always going to be negotiating for the biggest. Boris is successful because he gets the money. And, you know, I think he'll be okay. The way he'll look at it is, well, if Harper does a 5-year deal and it's $200 million, he'll do another one in 3 years.
Right.
And we'll do this all over again, and I'll make sick money all over again.
Right. Like, really, when was the last time a player – I mean, I guess other than Chris Davis is probably the – the way it could go, right? Is like, oh, well, like, you don't get that. He doesn't get anywhere near that contract. I guess Josh Donaldson would be another example of someone where it would have been a regretful contract for someone. But normally these guys, like, they get worse over time, but they don't get that much worse. And there's always that, oh, well, last year, you know, 2 years ago, they hit 300, so maybe they'll do that again. So you kind of can always extract some value, especially once there's expansion, which I think is coming. Then there's going to be, you know, 50 more roster spots in the league. So, and inflation and all that stuff. I don't think they need to hit, you know, get the 10-year deal to win the offseason.
Right. The struggle is real.
It is a struggle, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's see. Kluber, we talked about Kluber still on the market. And that was the nice gesture of the week. The Yankees, you know, searched through the couches and were able to come up with the $500,000 bonus that CC Sabathia got ejected out of in his final start of the year.
Right, because he didn't make the full start, so technically he didn't qualify for the bonus, but right. the Yankees gave it to him anyway. Nice move, I thought.
That was nice. It was very
he likes playing for them, too. Yeah. Like, it's a good fit, you know? It's a good fit.
Yeah, good PR move, because the Yankees need that positive PR.
Yes, right? Well, they are a fully operational Death Star.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Hold on a second. Would the Emperor of the Death Star, would he be giving out $500,000 bonuses?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Would a person who would destroy an entire planet and all its inhabitants give out a $500,000 bonus? I don't think so. You know what? You make the start, CC.
I think if Darth was around, he would be doing that chokehold on Cashman right now. One of the other interesting, intriguing stories is, you know, Troy Tulowitzki, after basically having one good season or half season with Toronto, basically falls off the face of the earth, and now he's relevant again because he's available. Cut by the Blue Jays earlier during hot stove season. And now he's a league minimum gamble for somebody, and everybody should be in on him because he costs basically nothing.
Right. Yeah, the Mets have had a couple of those guys, right? They had Reyes and Adrian Gonzalez that played for the Dodgers, big contract, was on the minimum, doing the minimum dance for the Mets. But yeah, I don't know. I think Tulowitzki is a zero player. I don't care if he shows up and is healthy for this workout that's under his conditions and whatever. I think that he falls apart, and why would you bother having someone like that on your team?
Leadership? I don't know.
I mean, if it was football, you could say, because you want to get the playbooks from the other teams. Right, but this is baseball. The playbook is throw ball, hit ball.
Right. But, you know, there's the whole thing there is lightning in a bottle. Maybe we'll get one good season out of him. You know, it's not
He was good. Yeah. Good on defense, too. So maybe there's some value there. Maybe I know the Dodgers were there. Maybe they're looking at him as a backup to Corey Seager. You know, give Corey Seager some days off because he's going to be coming off the injury.
But he wants to play every day. He doesn't want to shift around in different positions. He wants to play one position every day. That's kind of his goal.
You know what? So do I, John. Are you going to be attending my workouts next week?
I will.
Next week? All right.
Let's see. I almost said Hugh Darvish. Hugh's younger brother. But Hugh Darvish is starting to soft toss again.
Yeah.
Getting back into the swing.
I mean, what a terrible 12 months this guy's had, right? Yeah. Like, since the World Series, that Game 7 where he couldn't throw that slider and just the Astros were sitting on his slider, and then he was like, all right, that's fine. And then the Dodgers didn't re-sign him, and he went to the Cubs, and they're like, yeah, this is a great – and then, whatever, he's making $20 million a year, so it's hard to say it's a really terrible year. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take it back completely, John. He's having
a great year for him.
Yeah, another stellar year for you, Darvish. Who cares?
The Darvish household is quite pleased with how the year went financially.
But it's surprising, I think, about the Cubs is how many of their moves have gone south for them. They won the World Series, and you can never take that away. And usually you do get that five-year sort of grace period. But a lot of their moves have gone south. And then all this Addison Russell trouble now. And he's got his suspension coming up next year, but now he's got some other baby mama coming out talking about how he's a jerk. And, so then do you want this problem on your team? And then, I don't know.
Billy Bean was quite wise.
It's a good move.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
Good move. Dodgers. Oh, yeah. Charlie Steiner, who I think is one of the worst announcers in the history of any sport.
He is so terrible.
He's bad.
They gave him an extension. Like, honestly, John, and I don't know how the general L.A. audience feels, and maybe the Dodgers know something that I don't, but you could literally put any other human being in the radio booth. Like, if you extend Charlie Steiner, if you give him an extension, you're basically saying, I want to set this money on fire. Anything above minimum wage would just be absolutely burning money because his, wins above replacement as an announcer are so, it's negative. you could just get anyone else and it would be a better experience. He doesn't sound like he's having fun. No. He doesn't sound like he cares bored, about the Dodgers.
Monotone.
I remember he was from New York, right? Yeah. He's monotone. And he and Rick Monday are like, Rick Monday's hard enough to deal with. But these two in the same room together, they sound like they're not even like they haven't been talked to each other in 3 years.
Right.
They're like, you know, we're still arguing over that broad that Charlie knocked up that was Rick was dating. Like, they have this weird sort of like, they're both kind of doing the same thing. They're both kind of monotone. They both, like, Rick Monday used to play, but Rick Monday used to play like 40 years ago.
Right, it was a while ago. His claim to fame is the burning flag.
Yeah, like he's been riding that. And you know what? That was a cool thing that he did.
It was a cool thing.
But that said, these are bad announcers. Why are they giving these guys? Now, I know Steiner's supposed to, has a reduced schedule.
Yeah.
They brought in some other guy who's going to do a little bit of TV and a little bit of radio. But why? Why not just fire him? You don't owe him anything. Does he know something about where the bodies are buried?
Right.
Does he like? Does he go clubbing with the owners and like? He's like, yeah, don't worry, I bring the blow. Like, okay, good. Well, let's let him announce the radio show. He is, and like, it doesn't sound like he's enjoying himself. This is the thing, John. Can you imagine a day in your life where, let's say, your job for the next, you were like, this is all I'm going to be doing for the next. Obviously, you would have time off because it's a baseball season. But your job was announcer for a baseball team, a major league baseball team. Like, how awesome would that be for the whole time?
Right.
And again, it's not like, oh, this is what I have to do, like 20 hours a day for 350 days a year. It's like 3 hours a day, maybe five if you want to put some research into it, right? If you want to count commuting, it's six hours a day. You do some travel all over the country. You get to talk and interact with, you know, athletes and other announcers who are living the dream. And why do you sound like a disgruntled a-hole? Like, what didn't work out? Is it because you're not on TV anymore? I remember Charlie Steiner on TV where they stuffed him into that suit.
Oh, he was
just
the end for a while.
He was so
unbearable.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, he was so uncomfortable to watch him. Like, Charlie, you're not supposed to be on camera. It's okay.
Yeah, and he was one of those people when you saw him on TV, and it was not so much the appearance, although that was part of it. He just always seemed uncomfortable.
That's what I'm saying.
He
like,
always
he's
seemed
blocked
up.
He's not an unattractive person.
If you know what I mean. He always seemed like constipated and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he just seemed uncomfortable, like he didn't want to be there.
Like, have you ever heard the expression, and pardon my language here, people, you look like a bag of shit stuffed into a cheap suit.
I've heard that, yes.
That is exactly what I think of Charlie Steiner.
Uh-huh.
On camera. Like, some people are on camera and they just jump off the screen and you're just like, wow, this person is totally engaging and amazing. And then there's Charlie Steiner.
Right.
And he does the same thing on the radio.
Yeah,
again,
so he's
you're,
so
you're watching baseball for a living.
Right.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, you can even sense how uncomfortable he is listening to him, not just watching him and seeing the physical side of it, but you can just tell it's just boring.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. Like, you know what's amazing? Have you ever watched this is such a weird tangent. Amazon Prime has football games.
No, I have not.
Okay, so on Amazon Prime, you can watch football games.
I did not.
I don't know if they run the rest of the year, whatever. They might be done for the year. But there's an alternative broadcast signal.
Hmm.
And it's an Irish guy and an English guy.
That must be awesome.
There's more, John. They love football. And they're totally knowledgeable about American football.
And they're very excited.
And they're so excited. And they don't take sides, and they're not like, well, I have to be careful what I say because I'm going to have lunch with Peyton in the morning.
Right.
I don't want to say anything bad about Eli because his brother will give me, a wrist slap tomorrow.
Right.
Like, these guys just love football. I don't know where they found these guys or how this thing exists in the world, but this is what announcing should be. Also, let's mix it up, TV. Let's give us alternate broadcasts.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I like that.
Let's get rid of Charlie Steiner. Or you know what? Just reduce Charlie Steiner's pay and just, you know what? Give me a college kid. I would listen to a college kid announce a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you got to bleep him a little bit and you got to do a delay. Whatever. I don't care.
Or not, if it's an alternative.
Yeah, these guys
signal.
These guys are so refreshing. And then if you just alternate back between them and was it Joe Buck and Troy Aikman?
Yeah, that's
we're like
a
Troy Aikman's still yelling through his concussions, and Joe Buck is like just clearly hates his existence as a professional football announcer,
mm-hmm.
and is like so tired of all the money he's making watching sports.
Yeah, it's a tough life.
But these guys love it. You know they're making like nothing.
Right, yeah. It's the love of the game.
And the love of the game. Oh my, and they just, oh man, they love it. And it's like, oh, if the red team scores a touchdown, they're going nuts. If the blue team scores, gets an interception, they're going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it should be. It should be fun. Not Charlie Steiner, not Joe Buck. Any chance I can get to rip Joe Buck, I will. There it is. What else we got?
We got payroll down in 2018. Is that possible? Player payroll?
Yes.
Remember
last offseason was a little where teams are sort of, you know, more tanking teams. And also I think, whatever, statistics are a weird thing, right? Because you can run numbers and you can make things look a certain way. You can always manipulate numbers, right? They're mm-hmm. very manipulatable.
Yes.
What with them being numbers and there being so many numbers. There's actually an infinite number of numbers. I don't know if you know this, John.
I did hear that.
Yeah. So.
I think Charlie Steiner mentioned it in one of the broadcasts.
Okay, so payroll was down. It's one of the very few times the payroll's gone down. My guess is it's going to go back up, but there's like certain weird things like, you know, certain player bonuses kicked in, and so it all kind of... But this was the first year... I think this is the first year only two teams went over the luxury tax, and the Red Sox went way over, and then the Nationals went a little bit over.
Yeah, one of them worked out great. Other one,
yeah.
Not so much.
Like the opposite.
Right.
But still teams like the Phillies. The Phillies made the playoffs, right? No, they fell apart. Phillies. What was the other team with the huge payroll, the huge mega payroll?
The Giants.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they were terrible. But all those teams that didn't hit the luxury tax, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the normal big spenders, right? The Cubs even, right? They're all trying to get under the luxury tax to limit their penalty. I think you're going to see them all over the next couple of years get up into that luxury tax, mm-hmm. and you're going to see more spending. And I think it was just one of those anomalies statistically. I hope so. I mean, the players, as much as people complain about the players and how much money they make, like they deserve it. Because the owners aren't going to lower ticket prices. They're not raising and lowering ticket prices based on player payroll. Okay.
Oh, but the Marlins have dropped beer prices and dog prices. $2.50 for a hot dog, $5 for a beer, all season, every game. Bam.
Starting to do things right.
Yeah, they need some people to come to the games, and beer and hot dogs might do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's much better to, I think $5 is more palatable for a hot dog than $10 for the jumbo dog, which is really not jumbo. It's normal, maybe a little bit fatter. Yeah, food prices, crazy. But after we learned last week, no more eating of ballpark.
Would you like extra slime? I reread the report. It looks like Yankee Stadium was the worst.
Wow.
Yeah.
New stadium, too. Relatively
not surprising.
New.
Wow. Not surprising. I mean, I would have thought the Coliseum, right?
Sure.
But with all the sewage.
With all the feces around here. Yeah. That would be a problem.
Yeah.
So let's see what else we got here. Oh, yeah, the Mariners. A couple weeks ago, there was an announcement that the naming rights to the stadium was going to move away from Safeway to T-Mobile Park. I think we talked about it a little bit. But now it's going to be adorned in pink lights.
Fantastic.
It's they've already showed some pictures. I think it came out yesterday or a couple of days ago of what it's going to look like. And yeah, it just such a.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's a prostitution is what it is.
Yeah. They're taking it to the limit too. You know, a ton of T-Mobile features and discounts and ticket lines. And if you're a customer, you get XYZ. They're really leveraging it. It's not just a name.
They're going to have like the Can You Hear Me Now guy is going to come out and sing the national anthem. Oh, and that's a different...
Jose, Can You See? I think that's
okay, now hold on a second. I'm actually into this now. I'm flipping the other way.
Now it's going to be, I mean, the whole, the pink thing is hard to take, really, because when you know, the colors for the Mariners have always been that kind of teal and green, or not always, yeah, but recently. The teal, green,
well, I will
blue,
say pink and teal can go well together.
At a rave, maybe? I don't know.
Well, look, if by rave you mean my living room, then yes, that's what I mean.
We'll see what, it's just, you know, in some ways I'm kind of glad that I won't be there for opening day next year, because walking out onto that field and not seeing that, the Safeco sign, mm-hmm, is going to be sad.
What if we just kept calling it Safeco? Are there copyright violations? Will we lose our sponsorships, John?
Well, it's like, you know,
Can You Hear
Los
Me Now?
Angeles, Anaheim. Angels of Los Angeles, Anaheim,
right,
whatever they are.
The Anaheim, Los Angeles, Angels of Southern California.
Right. Right. Western Hemisphere, planet Earth. So that kind of wraps up the headlines for this week.
A little light, John. Yeah, a little light on the stories.
Hey, but, you know, Charlie Steiner took up a good 10 minutes, so we made it work.
God, I hate him so much.
What do we got for starting nine this week?
Well, Clint Eastwood's movie, The Mule, right?
Yeah,
this is the,
yeah,
for those of you who don't know, this is the film about John's current life.
Actually, my mom's coming down on Sunday, so she'll be muling some stuff for us.
Good. Yeah. Is she bringing product in or sending it back?
She's bringing it in.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Shh,
all right.
Shh.
Yeah, allegedly, whatever. Yeah, we're joking. We're comedians. Ha, ha, ha. Sorry, NSA.
And it's amazing that Clint Eastwood is still doing this, you know,
yeah,
acting, writing, directing, producing. I think he's, what, 83, something like that? Pretty impressive.
Is he 83?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I've been watching a bunch of old Westerns, and, of course, he's in a lot of the ones that I've been watching for research on another project. And, man, what a perfect actor for those parts.
Oh yeah, ideal.
Like,
sure, spaghetti,
like,
westerns.
The look, yeah, it's the spaghetti just, westerns.
It's all facial
perfect
expressions.
Like handsome and stoic and, but not perfect, but perfect. You know, like an imperfect
I
face,
loved him.
But
loved him.
Yeah, fantastic.
When I was a kid, I watched all the spaghetti westerns. I was a big fan. I never watched the Rawhide, old Rawhide shows. I wasn't into the pretty boy Clint. I was into the bad
right
boy. The bad boy,
yeah,
Clint.
Yeah.
But watched everything.
Yeah.
Even Firefox.
Great stuff. Don't. You know what? Don't be mean. Anyway, so for starting nine, we're going to do Clint Eastwood films. And these are not necessarily ones he directed, though he has directed 37 films.
Nice.
The one thing they say about Clint Eastwood's films is whether or not you like them, he gets them done on time and under budget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why the studios always come back to him for projects.
Yeah, but I was reading this... a story that specifically talked about his process for directing was actors love working with him because he often will go with the first take.
Yeah.
They love it. They don't have to do 50 takes. He's like, if they do three takes, Clint starts getting pissed off. So he's
and you don't want to piss off Clint.
No, no, no.
Wasn't he a mayor at some point too?
The mayor of
Carmel.
Carmel. Yeah. Carmel. Yeah. I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. All right, so here
didn't
we go.
Did he talk to a chair once?
He, you know what? He was talking to someone he felt should have been in the chair something.
Right, something,
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
something like that.
A long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Back when politics was fun. Anyway, speaking of fun stuff, Clint Eastwood movies with Major League Baseball player names. You ready? Here we go. The Bridges of Ryan Madison County.
Nice. That's sweet.
Easy one to start off with there. Xanderty Harry Bogarts.
Xanderty. That's his
Xanderty.
New name.
Xanderty. That's a pretty great nickname.
I like that. Xanderty.
Yeah. So next one, Pedro Gran Severino.
There you go.
Pedro Severino. $1 million Homan Bailby. Wait a minute.
One more
million
time.
Dollar Homer Bailby.
Homer Bailby.
Homer Bailby.
Which one of my least favorite Clint films?
What's next? We got Escape from Aledmus Cadiz Traz.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Movie too.
Every Which Way But Lourdes Goriel. Every Which Way But Loose. Mm-hmm. Every Which Way But Lourdes Goriel. In the Line of Mike Fiers.
Oh, nice.
Malkovich performance. Fantastic Malkovich performance, as always. Just watched Being John Malkovich again recently.
Very good movie.
So good. Little creepy, though. You know, nobody in that film is a good person. Except for John Malkovich. But he gets taken over.
Right.
Spoiler alert. But, basically everyone's kind of a jerk.
John Cusack is a jerk?
Yes. They're all jerks. But it works for the story. All right. Blake Swihart Breakridge.
Okay. Good.
This is one of my favorites that I've ever done. Trodubel with the Curve Herrera.
Trodubel. That's good.
Pink Johan Mankadalak.
Nice. These are
Pink
great.
Cadillac. Yeah, thanks.
These are epic.
And last but not least, and maybe the greatest Clint film of all time, the Nico Good Rum, the Harrison Bad Durr, and the Xavier Scruggs Lee.
Bravo. One of the best spaghetti westerns of all time.
Yeah. And the soundtrack in that film.
Ennio Morricone. Right. It's
those
amazing.
Is incredible. And the choice to make those, which are now just iconic, you know, spaghetti western sounds, the choice to make those, that music that way, it's just, it really, it's bizarre to watch it. Like now it's whatever, 50 years later?
Yeah.
And how much that just completely changed film and not just Westerns. And anyway, it's really incredible.
Wah, 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 wah. That's my impression.
For those of you who don't know, who haven't seen that film, John just nailed it.
Watch it. It's much better. Got to be in the moment. I just love all those. Hang 'em High, Fistful of Dollars, a few dollars more.
Yeah, Hang 'em High is good.
Yeah.
Hang 'em High. I watched that one recently.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So that completes Starting Nine, another epic performance by Sir Jed Rigney.
I'm Jed Rigney.
Let's move on to Extra Innings, where we take a look outside the world of baseball. A few things going on. Alabama was ranked number one for recruiting after the early signing period, which I think was yesterday or day before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw that also Florida, Georgia, and somebody else was good. And then you had some very poor rankings for like the USC's of the world saying that USC has fallen off.
Yeah.
A powerhouse.
Well, you know, they have so many sanctions on them. And so they're limited in how much money they can give away, unlike Alabama, who can give away as much money as they want because they don't have
sanctions.
They're not being watched as closely as USC.
Pete Carroll.
Sank that place and was just like, I'm out.
Yeah. I had fun while I was here. Hope you guys did too.
Yeah. I wish there was a way that we could just pay everyone there that's doing, like, you know, it's capitalism. There's no reason why these kids can't make money now.
Something.
Like, whatever the basis of that.
When you think about the boatloads of money that these universities are making,
yeah,
and these kids are putting their, you know, what they go through to deliver that value is, and they get nothing for it.
Yeah.
Well,
and maybe
allegedly.
I like the idea. Someone said that you pay them money, but you pay them into a trust.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And then when they're done with the school, they can activate the trust. If they drop out or if they, whatever.
Hookers and blow.
Hey, you know what? If that's what they learned in their econ class, then that's what they learned. Let them do whatever they, it's their money. They're right. out there. They're risking concussions. They're risking, you know,
that's the reward.
Permanent injury. If the Spend if your money. Reward is hooker and blow, then your reward is hooker and blow. Yeah. Or hookers, excuse me. So some players are partial to just one hooker.
Right, hooker and blow. Isn't that the name of a TV show?
I think it's sort of, it is that, isn't it? I think you're thinking of...
It's a cop show, isn't it?
Wasn't there like a Franklin and Bash? I think something, that's what we're thinking of. Yeah, hooker and blow was what they were going to call it before.
So the NFL announced all of their Pro Bowl selections this week.
That's right.
And the one that kind of stuck out to me is Jared Goff. Versus Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is an alternate, but his numbers are superior to Jared Goff when you look at the numbers. So I'm sure there's a lot of that that goes on. It's these there's players who get voted in just because of their name and that they're still, you know, good as opposed to falling way off. And
or that the team is doing well. There's a lot of that.
Right.
Now, who does the actual voting? I don't think I know that. Is it just the players?
Players? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think the players have a say, but it's my problem is with the NFL one is like, why not just wait till the end of the year?
Yeah. Why? Let's get a full season in.
Yeah, because it's like it's after 14 weeks that or 14 games that they do it, but really it's actually kind of after 13 games because a lot of these people are going to put their votes in before the last weekend.
They have to start making their travel plans for Hawaii or wherever that game's played now. I think it is. Back in Hawaii. It was in Florida for a while. Now it's back. I think it's back in Hawaii.
Yeah, why have it anywhere other than Hawaii? Unless you're going to do something cool like Australia. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would
Maybe
be
that's
cool.
too
they
far,
do
though.
That.
Yeah, they could go to New Zealand and walk the trail to Mordor. They could do like, you know, Sauron versus Gandalf.
Right. There you go.
Sauron is the captain of the AFC, because that's where the Patriots are. And then Gandalf the White, mind you, because Gandalf the Gray just wouldn't stand a chance.
No.
Am I right, nerds? All right.
Wow. Bravo. That was well done.
I go deep on Lord of the Rings, man. I love that film.
We talked briefly before we started the show today about the demise of the Patriots.
I mean, it's like this is a good team. This is a good to very good team that needs to get its act together to go through the playoffs. But that's, I'll be honest with you, that describes the team for the last 5 or 6 years. And sometimes they get their act together and go to the playoffs and win, and sometimes they lose. But they're always in the playoffs. They're always in the playoffs. And
so
as a Patriots
as a fan
myself,
it's...
I love it. Like, and they're like, yeah, of course I want them to win, but even I don't want them to win every time. Like, when they lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl, like, yeah, I would rather that they won, but at the same time, like, good, let someone else have a Super Bowl. Especially like the Eagles, they had never won a Super Bowl, right? Or they hadn't won in 40 years.
No, never.
Yeah, but they had never won one, right? Yeah. And you see how the Philadelphia fans went crazy after that. That's a nice thing.
I was expecting the city to be rubble after that.
Yeah. I mean, if it was any warmer, if it was like a summer thing, then absolutely. It would be just razed to the ground. Liberty Bell stolen.
Right. Cracked in half.
Cracked in half. go nuts.
People running around the city with pieces of the Liberty Bell.
Yeah.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
Some sad news.
Yes.
On Hollywood. Penny Marshall passed away.
Yes.
Which was... that was one of those things that when I saw it, I'm like, that's impossible. She's not that old. And then she's 75 years old.
You know, so funny. I thought, she must be like in her early 60s. That like, oh no, she's like late 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what a great career she had, though. Good filmmaker. I don't know if anyone thought she was a great filmmaker, but some really good stories that she told. Big, of course, is probably the...
Sure, League of Her Own.
Some people like that. I don't think that movie holds up. I've seen some people talking about how that movie holds up. I don't know that movie actually holds up.
No, I have not. I've only seen it once.
I mean, I will tell you what holds up is John Lovitz's character in that film.
Yeah.
Because that was always gold. And it will always be gold because gold will always be gold. I don't know.
Not Tom Hanks? Wasn't Tom Hanks? Was
Tom Hanks
good,
is fine in that, though. But, you know,
but that was before he became huge, and it was kind of like a you know.
That's before he got AIDS.
first Academy Award?
In the film, I mean, not in real life. Right. In the film.
Right. Philadelphia, folks. Watch it if you haven't seen it. Oscar-worthy performance. Hard to watch.
Almost as good as Shawshank Redemption, right, John?
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
High caliber going on there. It's a prison film, right?
Philadelphia? I mean, yeah, like an internal prison.
No, I meant Shawshank.
Yes. It's a great film, John. It really is one of the great films of all time.
Okay, so this next one I don't even know. Is this in Spanish? I don't know what Fortnite is. I don't know what the Carlton dance is, and I have no idea who Alfonso Ribeiro is.
It's a little bit like a Mad Libs of cultural things, right? Pop culture Mad Libs. Uh-huh. So Alfonso Ribeiro or Ribeiro, I don't know.
Ribeiro, I just
of
got me.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fame, who was most famous, sadly, for the Carlton dance, which apparently he felt he had created on the show and that he owned the copyright to it, and has basically done nothing since, which I'm really surprised he hasn't hanged himself. But still, so he's suing Fortnite, which is a video game which has sort of these dance celebrations in it. And he's suing them because one of the dances, by the way, there's three different lawsuits against Fortnite for three different dances.
Wow.
But I found this out after I noted this story. But Alfonso Ribeiro is only suing for the one dance move that he feels he created, right, which, by the way, is a totally generic, like, white guy dance move. I don't know why he thinks he owns that, because I think I saw Billy Crystal doing it, calling it the white man's overbite.
Right.
I don't know. Does he really own this dance? That feels weird.
I don't know. Yeah, it does feel weird. It's not like some signature move.
But can you copyright a move?
I don't know if you
like,
can.
Like, two snaps up, that's mine. But I did two snaps up with a twist and a little swirly goo on the end. Oh, okay. Right. Well, that's not a copyright violation.
Yeah.
Now you own that.
That's yours now.
Yeah.
Your variation is better than the original.
Oh, I put my feet up on the coffee table with my shoes off. That's my move. So if you do that, I'm suing you for copyright violation.
Wow. I may have to read that one. Because
I'm double fisting pizza slices over here, John. That's my move. You do that, I'm suing you.
Pizza. Sounds good. I'm getting hungry. Last but not least, Kardashian-Jenner sisters to shut down their apps in 2019. This must be big news.
This is big news because
they have separate apps.
Well, yeah. They make so much money. They make all the so much money off these apps, right? Because they all have these microtransactions, right? Like, oh, for $1 you can get more hair care products for your character. Okay, I'll spend $1 to get more hair. Oh, look, my character has better hair now. Oh, thank God. Oh, it's so great. Cost you $1. You know what? A million girls do that. That's $1 million. And
that's,
you know what?
Crazy.
There's a million people doing it. And you know what? They're not all little girls. Some of them are adult men. Some of them are adult women.
Some of them are grandparents.
Some of them are grandparents, and they're just spending. And they just spend. Because you get the app for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a little note, in-app purchases available. Oh, okay.
I'm groaning on this.
Yeah.
It's groan-worthy.
But they're shutting down their app. So what that makes me think that there's one of a couple things going on. They're going to be doing new apps so they can make even more money.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, that something shady behind the scenes was going on and they needed to divest themselves of it before they got in trouble.
Right. Because
my guess is it's
the
money.
It's going to throw them into the limelight.
Right, exactly.
They don't need that shit.
Yeah.
What's coming up next?
Manny Machado and Bryce Harper star in the classic film A Fistful of Dollars.